All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Vancouver Canucks up 2-1 on the Nashville Predators after taking Game 3 2-1 in Music City. We'll have former Vancouver Canuck Brendan Morrison joining us, as well as our man, Jeff Patterson, who is in Nashville. He'll be joining us a little bit later on in the show. This is Rinkwide Vancouver. What's good, Vancouver Canucks fans? Rafal Gafar here in a studio with you. We'll get to Brendan Morrison in just a moment, as well as Jeff Patterson from Nashville, as the Vancouver Canucks take a 2-1 win in Game 3 to now go up 2-1 in their series against the Nashville Predators. Rinkwide Vancouver, presented by Applewood Auto Group, Ford, Nissan, Kia, Infiniti, Mitsubishi, and Chevrolet, applewood.ca. It is all good, always, at Applewood. The Rinkwide Vancouver studio, we're in the lower lobby of the Sheraton Wall Center Hotel. If you're thinking about wedding space, the Wall Center can meet your every need, from small family gatherings to big, bold weddings and receptions. Consider the Wall Center if you're looking for wedding and reception space. Email sales@wallcenter.com. The Vancouver Canucks went into Nashville and took care of business, defeating the Preds 2-1 to take an all-important Game 3. And their stars were definitely their stars. We'll get into all of that in just a moment. I want to start with the news of Thatcher Demko and what's been going around in different hockey circles. A lot of stuff's being said about Thatcher Demko and his injury. It's clear he's not coming back the rest of this series. So let's put that to bed right there. And beyond that, his status is still up in the air. The Vancouver Canucks remain optimistic that he may be able to return at some point in the second round. That remains to be seen. We know it's a knee injury. We know he's with the team in Nashville. Beyond that, it's the playoffs. Things will remain very quiet. Casey DeSmith is this team starter, and he earned his first career playoff win. What a game for Casey DeSmith. Stopped 30 of 31 shots. Goals from JT Miller. Goals from Brock Besser. The Canucks power play absolutely cooked in this one to lead the Nashville Predators and get that 2-1 victory. Oh yeah, they also only had 12 shots on net. Their fewest shots ever in a playoff win, but who cares? When it's all said and done, the Vancouver Canucks were able to go out and get it done, taking care of business after a Game 2 loss at home, winning Game 3 on the road. All right, let's get to our guest, joined now by Brendan Morrison on the Great Clips chat line. It's a presentation of Great Clips. Brendan, welcome. A huge road win for the Vancouver Canucks in Nashville, an all-important one. What'd you like from Game 3?
Well, thank you for having me. You hit the nail on the head.
special teams battle. I mean, Vancouver's power play got the job done tonight. And not unlike last game when I talked to some people and said, sometimes you win games you should lose and you lose games you should win. Well, this felt like the shoe was on the other foot as far as who controlled the play tonight, who outchanced the other team, who led in almost every major statistical category aside from block shots. So this was almost like the exact opposite of game two, right? I mean, tonight Nashville carried the play. They had a big push at the end. Goaltending was outstanding. Casey DeSmith was outstanding tonight. I mean, he was on. You know, Vancouver's power play did the job, like I mentioned earlier. I mean, they were had a couple tweaks, it looked like, tonight, and they did what they had to do to win the game.
You know, when you look at this power play, obviously there were adjustments that we made. You move Connor Garland off that power play unit. You insert Elias Lindholm. How much can one subtle change by one player coming off to another player going in completely change the dynamic? I mean, you obviously saw it with the result in game three.
Right. I mean, who knows if it's coincidence or not, you know, if they're overdue and then they were bound to score. Sometimes changing personnel, just slightly tinkering with it, it just kind of refreshes you a little bit. And I'm not putting any of this on Connor Garland at all, right? It's just it's just a bit of a reset for all the other guys there. Elias Lindholm has been a good hockey player for a long time. He scored 42 goals last year. He can score goals. I mean, he's had a tough year this year offensively, but you know, was a runner-up for the Selke Trophy last year. He's a complete player, and he played on the top power play unit in Calgary all the time, right, with Goudreau and Tkachuk, etc. So it's not unfamiliar territory for him. He knows what to do out there, and it worked tonight. I mean, he didn't score any power play goals, but, you know, he was a bit of a presence in the slot there, and they did what they had to do.
Yeah, when you look at it, you know, you mentioned, you and I talked a little bit before this game ended, and I asked you what you wanted to get into, and you mentioned defensive hockey. What specifically did you like about this game from the Vancouver Canucks defensively?
Well, heading into the third period, it was interesting. We talked about that right before we headed into the third period, yeah. And they hadn't given up that many shots. Then I felt in the third period, obviously they had a lead, so they were protecting a lead, but they really didn't take any chances at all. And I felt as the period progressed and Nashville started to get a bit of momentum, Vancouver maybe even collapsed a little bit more than I would like to have seen. Two easy zone entries for Nashville that were Nashville would gain, penetrate the middle of the ice, kick the puck out wide, all of a sudden they've entered into the zone. So it's a weird mentality, right? Like Vancouver, they don't want to take chances. They don't want to give up an easy chance. But when you do sit back and you just play defense the whole time, the other team gets momentum. And we saw that the last game at home with Nashville and Vancouver. Nashville just sat back. Vancouver had the puck 90% of the period. They just kept coming in waves and waves and waves and couldn't break through. And that was similar tonight.
You mentioned the physicality is also an aspect of this team that, you know, they played in that second game. You know, they had absolutely everything on the ice. Heading into this game, they were physical, but it felt like they picked their spots where they wanted to be a little bit more. You know, you saw a little bit more of scrums after whistles and things like that. The little bit of extracurriculars with guys, you know, getting into the kitchen of UC Saros, as well as the Nashville Predators getting into the kitchen of Casey DeSmith. What'd you make of the Canucks' physicality tonight?
Well, they kind of embrace that challenge, you know, as the series goes on or any series goes on, you know, it gets more and more heated. The stakes get higher. Obviously, this was a huge game, a pivotal game, game three. And like you said, there was a lot more interaction after whistles, right? And it's a fine line. You can't cross that line, but you also don't want to back down, right? So they got to focus on playing within whistles. And once the whistle goes, you know, just, you know, keep your composure. And make sure you don't take any unnecessary penalties. But, you know, everybody was finishing checks tonight. They battled hard in front of the net. They tried to, you know, create as many clear lanes for DeSmith as possible to see pucks. And they did a good job of that early on. And he saw a lot of pucks and he made the saves.
Yeah, Brendan, I want to get back to our Great Clips chat line. Your time is valuable. Use the Great Clips check-in app. See the wait time, check in on your phone, and get your haircut when you want. For more information, check out greatclips.com. Great Clips, it's going to be great. A lot of questions for you from our YouTube chat. Hey, Mo, the Predators seem to figure out how to shut down Hughes tonight. What's he got to do to get around their checks and get back to his game? I mean, you obviously saw it. Quinn Hughes taking the brunt of a lot of hits. That seemed to be the game plan of the Nashville Predators, what was obviously forced the issue against the Canucks' best player.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the game plan for Nashville will be simple. Quinn Hughes plays a lot of minutes. Quinn Hughes isn't a large body. Let's try and wear him down, right? He has the puck a lot. Let's make it difficult on him. Let's take away his time and space. And again, anytime you have a chance to finish, let's finish on him. And he knows that's going to happen. I mean, there's no secret. It's just a matter of if Nashville can execute. So obviously his skating ability is world-class, maybe the best edges in the entire National Hockey League. He can escape pressure. He can carry the puck up ice, you know, generate offense that way. I mean, shut him down. I mean, he still generated a couple assists on the power play. I mean, he's, you know, I thought he was by far the best player on the ice for either team the first two games. He was contained a little bit more tonight, but again, still produced on the power play. And it wasn't like he had an off game. He still logged a lot of minutes. He did a great job. Maybe didn't have, you know, the team only had 12 shots on net. I think JT Miller had 6, right? So, I mean, there wasn't a lot of room out there. I mean, Nashville played a great game, and Vancouver just did what they had to do tonight.
Is this defensive approach, another person from our YouTube chat, Ernest, is this defensive approach the right way to play in a 7-game series? I guess if you're getting the results, it obviously is. Something's working. Do you see the team heading into game 4 kind of playing the same type of game?
Well, we didn't really see this style the first two games, right? I mean, obviously not in game 2 because they were behind. So they were pushing the pace the entire game. It felt like their puck possession, they must have had the puck, you know, over the course of the game 75% of the time. And I thought even in game 1, they pushed the pace and controlled play offensively. Tonight, the mindset changed a bit. Okay, I'm up 2-0. We don't need to score any more goals. We just don't need to give up any goals. So you kind of get into this mentality of let's defend. But again, it's a fine line. You don't want to just collapse and have Nashville continuously get puck possession. Like, okay, Vancouver chips the puck out. Nashville has to reset over the blue line. But now here they come again in another wave. So, I mean, I don't think that's an ideal situation to play that way, but the circumstances tonight kind of predicated how they played. But with that being said, I'd still like them to gauge a little bit further up ice, not give up the blue line so easy and allow Nashville entry into the zone.
Brendan, I got to ask, you got to get into your mind a little bit of a player. You know, your star goaltender goes down. He's probably going to be a Vezina candidate. In comes Casey DeSmith, who's played well for you at some points this season, but obviously his form recently wasn't good of late. You lose the game at home. You know, he makes his playoff debut there. You lose the game at home. You get a couple of days off. What's the mindset of the group heading into game 3?
I think the guys believe in Casey DeSmith, right? And I think the reception that he got at Rogers Arena last game was phenomenal from the fans. You know, you can't blame him for any of those goals last game. I mean, there's nothing he could have done. And a very, very difficult game for a goaltender to play. I mean, the first shot in that goes in, and then he doesn't see the puck in his own zone for about the next 10 minutes. I think anybody who's playing a game, and let alone a game for the, you know, a playoff game with a lot of pressure on them, they want to feel the puck early. They want to touch the puck. And when that doesn't happen, I mean, you got to stay mentally involved in the game. So I give him a lot of credit for doing that. And I'm not going to call this a bounce back performance tonight because I don't think he played poorly in the first game. But I think he just reinforced what he's capable of doing. And the mindset of the team is, you know, let's try and help this guy out as much as we can. It seems like the team really likes him. So they want to put forth their best foot and help this guy as much as possible. So you saw tonight, Vancouver sacrificed a lot. They had a lot of blocked shots. I think they blocked 22 or 23 shots tonight. And that's kind of a winning formula come playoff time.
You know, we talk so much about the best players needing to be the best players heading into games. In their game 2 loss, their best players definitely weren't their best players. But you head into game 3, Quinn Hughes, Brock Besser, JT Miller, and Brock Besser, they combined for 6 points in the game, or in Elias Pettersson, sorry. They combined for 6 points through 2 periods and in the hockey game. So from that perspective, when your leaders are your leaders, the rest follow. Isn't that kind of how it goes?
Absolutely, right? And as an offensive guy, when you get on the power play, and you start to get touches and you start to move the puck around, and then you start to have success on the power play, that usually translates into 5-on-5 play as well. You just feel good about yourself. You know, Pettersson's been given a hard time here the first couple of games, but what I liked about game 2 was after the game. That's, I think what he did was what a good leader does. I mean, he didn't shy away. He didn't deflect any criticism. He owned it. And I think when other players in the team see, you know, one of your star players owning that and taking responsibility, I mean, it just kind of reinforces to them, you know, what this guy's all about. You know, he's kind of embracing the challenge. I think tonight was probably his best game. I mean, again, there wasn't a ton of offense from Vancouver, but I think there was no quit. He worked hard. You can take these baby steps and build.
You know, when you talk about building and baby steps, you know, the recipe for success probably isn't 12 shots, but I guess if you get the win, you do. And Brendan, you've been a part of it. You've played in some big playoff games in your career. The playoffs are about adjustments. The Canucks get the win, but you now looking forward to game four in the afternoon, probably no morning skate. You're probably going to maybe have an optional, maybe a full practice tomorrow. But what type of adjustments do you think Rick Tocchet's going to implement into his group?
Well, I can tell you one thing. They're definitely not going to apologize for this win tonight with only having 12 shots on net. Like you said, it doesn't matter how you win come playoff time, as long as you get the win. Now, they'll probably like to see some adjustments like, hey, boys, we can do this better. Here's something we can change maybe on Nashville zone entries. You know, we don't want to sit back this much. We want to try and, you know, play in their zone and instead of defending the entire period. So there'll be some things going on. But, you know, as a player, you're just trying to get as much rest as possible. Hydrate. You're going to be watching film. Okay, what can we do? But at the end of the day, it's a win and you have a series lead and that's all that matters.
You know, when you look at it from the way that Andrew Brunette coaches his hockey team, you can tell the style of the plays of the Nashville Predators is big, physical, and heavy. You know, the Canucks win game one at home. You obviously have all the adrenaline, your home crowd, the first playoff home game in 9 years. Nashville adjusts, and they play their type of game. You come out flying as well, and you don't get the win. You head into game three, you kind of slow it down a little bit. So from the Nashville Predators' perspective, is it going to be to try and speed things up, or are you going to still try and play your game? Because from what it looks like, this Nashville Predators team, they don't really want to play that fast brand of hockey. It's physical and try to get to the net.
Right, but I mean, I will tell you, I think Nashville is going to be happy with their game tonight. I mean, they're sitting there probably feeling how Vancouver felt on Tuesday. Like, man, we should have won that game. Like, we threw the kitchen sink at these guys, and they got lucky. You know, although they didn't hit, you know, three posts tonight. When you go back and look at the film and look at the quality chances that they had, if I'm Vancouver, I don't want to see this game play out the same way it did tonight, next game. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly in the third period alone had three point blank opportunities. One of them goes off Ian Cole's helmet on that 5-on-3. I mean, you give Ryan O'Reilly that shot 10 times, nine times it's going in the net. So you don't want to play with fire too much. So Nashville is going to say, boys, let's just keep on doing what we did. If we play that way again, you know, we like our chances. Whereas Vancouver's like, okay, guys, we got the win. That's what we're here for. But now, what can we change? What minor adjustments can we make so we're not just hanging on at the end of the game? Let's play where we have a little bit more control.
Nux for Cup in our YouTube chat says this series is really feeling like Vancouver, Minnesota in 2003. Brendan, what say you there?
Well, yeah, I mean it was a chess match at times. Playing against Minnesota and obviously Jacques Lemaire is the coach, and Minnesota didn't have the offensive firepower that Nashville has. I mean, they didn't have a 48 goal scorer. They didn't have a Roman Josi and guys like that. In order for them to have any success at all, they had to play a system that was essentially a 1-2-2 system. They fed off turnovers from the other team or the other team trying to force things through the middle of the ice. So just keeping your game simple and not giving them any life, not giving them any energy, and making sure that your special teams capitalize when they get an opportunity. I mean, that's going to be the key to success here.
There's been a lot of talk about Elias Pettersson for probably the better part of a couple months now, especially since the All-Star break. He goes into this game, he gets an assist, he has one shot on net, 17:41 of ice time. He was 5-4 in the faceoff circle, so 56%. What'd you make of Elias Pettersson's game, especially with everything that's kind of been going on the last couple of days?
Well, I think he was the only guy that had a faceoff percentage over 50%. Yeah. I think Nashville won close to 70% of the draws tonight, which was an issue there in the third period. They couldn't win a faceoff. Vancouver couldn't in their own zone until the last couple of minutes. They won a couple of big ones. But, you know, I he's got a lot of pressure on him, huge expectations. Obviously, he just signed that monster contract. So what comes with that? Obviously, expectations go up, right? And people expect you to be at your best every single night. And you know, I think he has a high standard as well. I mean, he's not happy with the way he's playing. He's happy the team's got a 2-1 lead, but he's probably thinking, man, if I get going here, then I can really help this group out. So he just has to stick with it. Don't get caught up in dwelling on, you know, what's happened. You know, you can't change what's happened. I mean, just focus on your next shift or the next game. And I think that's the way to do it. Don't worry about the outcome of the game. Worry about the process. So the process is, how am I going to approach my next shift? What's my mentality for this next shift? Who am I matching up against? Okay, let me win that matchup and then come back to the bench, reset, win the next shift.
As part of the leadership group, when you go down in a game and, you know, you don't really have much playoff experience heading into an away game in a building that you know is going to be raucous. You know the crowd's going to be on you. They had the Canuck-painted car outside they were beating on with the sledgehammers. Like, you know, you walked into some enemy territory. I know Nikita Zadorov said sometimes it's nice to be the bad guy, but as a leader of the group, and you're probably the JT Millers of the world, what are you saying to the younger guys before you head into that?
He's like, boys, embrace this. This is, and I think Talkett came out today and said that, like, love playing the villain role, right? And, you know, it's kind of like your team against everybody. And a lot of times it galvanizes the group and you can kind of feed off of each other. And you know, it's nice to quiet the crowd, right? And get an early lead and things like that. So I think players actually enjoy it and relish it.
You know, one final one for me, Brendan. When you look at kind of the way that things are going in this series, and, you know, the Canucks are comfortable playing these tight games. Like, it really does look like it, especially if they're getting those contributions from Casey DeSmith, kind of the way that he went about his business tonight. How much confidence can that give to the rest of the group that, you know, you might only have to score two goals the rest of the way, and you're able to get the saves and the performance from your backup goalie?
Well, I think this was again, not to criticize Casey DeSmith last game, but he just didn't have the opportunity last game to do what he did tonight, you know, based on the number of shots he faced. But tonight, I think he made a statement, right? He made a huge statement, not only to his teammates who believe in him based on what he's done all year, but he made a statement to Nashville, like, hey, just because Demko is not on net, it's not going to be easy, right? So he battled. I mean, he made some great saves in the third period. There were a couple of deflected shots from the point, and he was composed in net. So it was, the team will be excited for him. And obviously he's going to be thrilled that he contributed. And to me, he was the first star of the game. He was the difference maker.
Absolutely. Brendan, I got one final one. I lied to you. It's from our YouTube chat. It's a regular listener. Question for BMO. This one's a little fun. Whose game would translate best in today's game? Yours, Todd Bertuzzi, or Marcus Naslund?
That's a tough one. Oh man. I think we could all play today, right?
There you go. That's the answer we were looking for.
I think we could all play. I would personally love to play in more the 3-on-3 overtimes. I think that would be awesome. It really would be. A lot of room out there to skate. But I think any one of us had enough hockey IQ where we could hopefully survive in today's track meet out there.
Awesome. Brendan, you're the best. Thank you so much for this. We hope to get you on again soon. And when's the next time you're heading out and going fishing?
Well, that's important stuff right there. I'm just kind of planning for the summer. So I don't know exactly when. I actually just got back from Costa Rica, was fishing down there for some tuna and blue marlin, which was awesome. So yeah, just kind of getting ready for season 8 of Real West Coast. And it's been a blast, a lot of fun, and we enjoy doing it.
Awesome, Brendan. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Brendan Morrison, a former Vancouver Canuck and now a part-time analyst as well, doing his own thing on his YouTube channel with his West Coast Fishing Show as well. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's actually really good. The Vancouver Canucks lead the Nashville Predators 2-1 in their best of seven series, taking game 3 by a score of 2-1. Let's get to Rinkwide Vancouver's 3 Stars, a presentation of Greta Bar YVR. Check out Greta Bar YVR, home of the official Canucks Army playoff watch parties with prizes, food and drink specials, and a chance to gather with the Army at Greta Bar YVR. So take a quick look at our Rinkwide Vancouver 3 Stars. No doubt in our mind, all Vancouver Canucks. JT Miller, 1 goal, 1 assist. The Canucks had 12 shots. He had 6 of them. Casey DeSmith, 30 saves on 31 shots. Obviously, his first ever career playoff win. And Quinn Hughes, doing Quinn Hughes things, getting 2 assists for the Vancouver Canucks. There's a lot to talk about in this game. Obviously, going to keep going back to the YouTube chat and all our social channels. Keep getting us involved. We're going to get Jeff Patterson. I know he's in the room. He's talking to guys. So having him in Nashville is an absolute pleasure. Obviously, a lot of people in our YouTube chat. It's Bertuzzi. That line would still be amazing today. I don't know if that line would be amazing, but I think that Todd Bertuzzi, you know, kind of the Dakota Joshua with a lot more of an ability to put the puck in the back of the net, he might translate. But I do agree with what Brendan Morrison said. Him in overtime at 3-on-3, I really do think that he'd be able to go out there and definitely put up some numbers. Something else that we have to get to is our stat that stands out. It is brought to you by Fountain Tire. And as we head further into the spring, ask the Fountain Tire experts about their seasonal car care package to keep your vehicle in shape. Find your nearest service dealer at fountaintire.com. Now, this is the one that I found, and it's obviously about Quinn Hughes just doing absolute Quinn Hughes things. He becomes the third player in Canucks history with 20 points in his first 20 playoff games. So that's joining Trevor Linden and Thomas Gradin. We talk about Quinn Hughes. There's so much talk about who's going to win the Norris. Obviously, people that watch this and have followed along all season long know that my vote, if I had one, would be for Quinn Hughes. There's going to be a lot of people that do vote for Cale Makar, but it should be Quinn Hughes' Norris Trophy to lose, and that's another reason why, is because he keeps putting up absolute monster numbers like he's been doing all season long. Let's go back to the YouTube chat. The way the hits are being dished out, Darren Whitehead says, it's finally getting real. This had the feel of a real playoff game, hard and heavy. There are way more hits from both teams in the second game of the series. I think this one, it was a lot more punishing hits, right? You saw Nikita Zadorov absolutely poster Roman Josi along the boards. That was a big hit. He was getting in on all the physicality. Dakota Joshua, I know he took a penalty. They reviewed it. It was originally called a major, and then they put it down to only a two-minute penalty. The Canucks obviously do kill that. Their special teams was absolutely nuclear in this one. How much longer before Quinn Hughes takes the best captain mantle? That's from our YouTube chat. Ooh, that's a tough one. The Canucks have had some pretty good captains. Obviously, going back, Orland Kurtenback, you know, Stan Smeal. You got Trevor Linden, who is beloved in this community. Roberto Luongo had a short stint as the captain. Bo Horvat, Henrik Sedin is probably going to be one of, if not the best captains for me personally, in my opinion. But I do think Quinn Hughes is going to blow a lot of the stats defensively out of the water for sure. When you look at it, by the time it's all said and done, he definitely is going to be the greatest Canucks defenseman to ever play. He's well on his way to that. He's going to deserve the Norris. Pretty hard to pass Linden, says Captain Canuck, but I'm not entirely too sure. I think he will be able to do that. I think he's beloved by the fan base now, and it's a different fan base, to be completely honest, that goes and watches these games, right? It's a whole different generation of Vancouver Canucks fans that are out there that are watching these games. So a very interesting conversation to have about the Vancouver Canucks, and especially when you look at the captaincy of Quinn Hughes. But we can get to that at a later day. The Vancouver Canucks, 2-1 series leaders over the Nashville Predators, taking game two by a score of 2-1. Power play was great. The adjustments that they made. Sometimes, yes, it is just as a little as moving a player and putting in a different player. Elias Lindholm brings a different dynamic. He's in front of the net. JT Miller shooting the puck a lot more. Brock Besser getting into that kitchen. He scored 16 goals on the power play this season. A lot of them were right in front of the net. And I'm going to say it, JT Miller's that no-look pass to Brock Besser for the goal, little Patrick Mahomes-esque maybe with the no-look pass there. So a lot more to get to on this show, on this episode of Rinkwide. As you can see there, lots of action to get into. Jeff Patterson is in Nashville. We will get to him. I'm really interested to hear what he has to say from talking to the players as well as talking to Rick Tocchet. We'll be back on Rinkwide Vancouver.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome back to Rinkwide Vancouver. This portion of the show is presented by the Vancouver Canadiens. The Seas are back at the Nat. Catch fireworks, giveaways, Friday Nooners, and superstar appearances all spring and summer long. Get your tickets at CanadiansBaseball.com. Today's Nooner at the Nat was postponed because of the rain. There'll be a doubleheader tomorrow starting at 1:05 p.m. Gates open at noon. The homestand ends with Weekend Family Fun Sunday. For tickets, call 604-872-5232 or go to CanadiansBaseball.com. We're going to get to Jeff Patterson, who is in Nashville covering this series for us, covering on Canucks Army. You know, you see him on Sakaris and Price on Canucks Conversation. He was in the room. He's in the Rick Talk at Presser. So just to recap, the Vancouver Canucks up 2-1 in their series against the Nashville Predators, beating the Nashville Predators 2-1. In Nashville, goals from JT Miller and Brock Besser, both on the power play. Two assists from Quinn Hughes. Elias Pettersson getting on the score sheet as well. And just to recap again, we had so much talk about Thatcher Demko leading up to this game and his status. Well, his status is he's not playing the rest of this series, okay? And his status for round two, if the Canucks get there, is, well, we just have to wait and see. There was reports that he's probably done for the playoffs. There was reports that could be a torn ACL. We just really don't know. So all we know now is Casey DeSmith is the starter for the Canucks going forward. Players have injuries. We do know that Thatcher Demko is out. There obviously are other Canucks. Maybe Philip Roenick's battling something. Obviously, you saw that Brock Besser, you know, took a shot off the hand, but it looked pretty good as he was able to score in this game as the Vancouver Canucks were able to go and get that win. And you know what? There's another one that we really do like here. We're thrilled to welcome one of our newest sponsors to Rinkwide Vancouver. We're welcoming Bet365 as our sport betting partner just in time for the 2024 playoffs. We'll be here with the 365 to provide you all the news, analysis, lines, and betting options for the playoffs until one team is left standing in June. Will it be the Canucks? Not sure. Bet365 is the largest sports betting platform globally. Open an account with Bet365 today and use promo code VANBONUS to bet on a huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. There's a couple bets that I looked at today. These are both, you know, player parlays and shot props and things like that. So if you would have taken JT Miller's shot total, that was over 2.5. He absolutely smoked that. He got six. He got six of the Canucks' 12 shots. So obviously a pretty good one to take there. And then anytime goal scores. You know, Philip Forsberg obviously is the best odds for anytime goal score, but JT Miller, pretty good odds there. Keep the submissions coming. We're going to go right back to the YouTube chat and see as people continue to have some questions about this Vancouver Canucks team. They're only two more wins away, right? You get that win on Sunday in that afternoon game, you could potentially close out the series in game five at home. Power play, Daniel Pettersson. Power play got it done. Good thing too. From a 5-on-5 perspective, we generated nothing and we're completely dominated. Casey saved us several times. We need to be better in game four. I'll take the win, but feel very lucky. I think that's what you have to look at. No matter what, it's all said and done. If we look at all the stats, our jobs here are to analyze the games, right? And to look at it and see what the Canucks did wrong. You know what they didn't do wrong? They won the game. No one really cares about how they got it done as long as they got it done. 12 shots, 5 shots, 6 shots. Who cares? The Canucks won the hockey game and have a 2-1 series lead. I'm interested to see if there's going to be any lineup changes. I know there was talk about a lot of people wanting Vasily Podkolzin to come into lineup. Personally, I thought he was going to get into game three, but I think it's the penalty-killing ability of Phil DiGiuseppe. You know, he took a bad penalty in game two, didn't play too much late in the stages of that game, but he was on tonight, and, you know, he was able to go in there and play some big minutes on that penalty kill. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see what Rick Tocchet and his staff decide to do. You know what they're not going to do? They're not going to tinker with that power play. Elias Lindholm getting back into that bumper type of spot. It just gives them such a different look, I think. So he's a guy that, as you heard that Brendan Morrison mentioned, he's a 42-goal scorer in the National Hockey League. Yes, I know a lot of people were all over him when the Canucks made the trade and he wasn't producing, and then he got hurt with that wrist injury, now back into the lineup, and he's producing. And as Rick Tocchet said after Game 1, this is why they acquired Elias Lindholm. So we'll see what happens there. But the faceoff numbers weren't good, just as a team for total. Nashville owned that stat in the late stages of the third period as well. So the Canucks are definitely going to have to take a look at that and try and get better. I think Captain Canuck says it here in our YouTube chat. Wants me to bring up the hit on Casey DeSmith. Thinks it's BS. Referee needs to protect the goalies. It should have been 5 minutes. Yeah, see, it's interesting there. I get it that you probably want the 5 minutes. I mean, DeSmith is out of his net. I know he's still in the protected area, but he's out of his net playing the puck. I mean, the hit didn't hit him in the head. It wasn't targeting. It wasn't interference penalty. I know the referees want to protect the goalie, so that's probably as far as it was going to go. Kind of like the Dakota Joshua hit where, as it was called, a major right in the early stages. You know, we all looked at it here. We were watching the game with the rest of the producers and everyone on this show saying there's no way that's a major. So thankfully, they went and reviewed it. It was only a minor penalty. So when you go and look at that for the Vancouver Canucks, I mean, they got lucky and avoided that. But protecting the goalies is something the referees definitely do want to do. I'm not entirely sure it should have been a major. Sam Wilson, not sure DeSmith was that good. Seemed like just fortunate bounces around him. However, I can't disagree with that. Like, DeSmith had to make some pretty good saves. I think the biggest thing for Casey DeSmith in this hockey game was he didn't look nervous. He didn't look like he was a guy that was making his first ever playoff start in a road building. He was calm. He was cool. He made his saves when he needed to. He had help. Ian Cole basically blocking a shot with his face. The guys in front of him laid on the line and they were able to get it done. So I'm not really buying that narrative that he wasn't that good. I think he was good when he needed to be. And they don't need him to be that. Thatcher Demko. They don't need him to be a superstar goalie. Rick Tocchet said it before he made the start. He said that we need Casey to be Casey, and that's exactly what he was. So I think that that was one of the good things about this game is that he didn't need to be spectacular. The Canucks power play was spectacular. Their PK was very, very good. Those are the two reasons why they won the game. Now, our man, Jeff Patterson in Nashville, covering this game. Jeff, well, how was it?
Well, it's good, Irf, and thanks for holding down the fort as I did the post-game duties. You can see that we blew our travel budget. Didn't really have a whole lot for a backdrop here, but we're here. Watch this game. Frantic couple of minutes there at the end, but look, the Vancouver Canucks found a way to grind it out. I'm sure you've covered off the fact that it was a record low for shots on goal in a playoff game by the Vancouver Canucks. The last time was 13 in San Jose back in 2011. They won that game as well, so it's a dangerous way to play, and I don't think that the Vancouver Canucks can tell you that they are playing Canuck hockey the way that led them to 50 victories and 109 points in the regular season, but they do have a 2-1 lead in this series. They've won all three of their games here in Nashville, and Casey DeSmith has won two of them, including this one tonight. So there are some things to draw on. I would agree with you that special teams obviously was massive in this hockey game, and it really have been. The penalty kill has been terrific, save for the Ryan O'Reilly goal in the first game for the Predators. But other than that, the Vancouver Canucks, you know, you look at, like, Tyler Myers plays close to 9 minutes of the third period.
Yeah.
The 5-on-3 that they had to kill off, Ian Cole eating pucks, doing his thing. But ultimately, special teams and Casey DeSmith making the saves that he had to. It looked like he was going to post a shutout. Luke Evangelista obviously had different ideas. And then it got interesting in those final 5 minutes. The pressure that the Preds had with about a minute to go there. Just a wild scramble in front of DeSmith. But again, at the end of the night, it doesn't really matter how. It's how many did you score? And they got two and the Preds just won. So not a perfect effort by the Vancouver Canucks, but it's also hard to sit here and criticize an awful lot because they've wrestled home ice advantage back. You know, it's hard to say they have control of this series. I don't understand the struggle to generate shots, particularly in the first period. Like, okay, the first couple of games, 4 shots in each of the first periods, they talked about it. They talked about it this morning. I talked to Quinn Hughes, talked to Rick Tocchet. They knew it was an issue. They claimed it had been addressed, that they were going to come out firing. And they upped the ante. They had 3 shots on goal in the first period. JT had all of them, and they all came on the power play. Or if they didn't have an even strength shot. So, like, it is a dangerous way to play. They have to play better. But again, at the end of the night, did they win? Yes, they did. So they have an off day to try to figure some things out. Ultimately, and you and I have talked about this on previous Rinkwides, you know, they'd fallen behind. They hadn't scored a first period goal. They got the lead. They extended it. And that has just been a blueprint to success for this hockey club all season long. And ultimately, it was again here tonight.
What was the message from who you talked to postgame? And what did Rick Tocchet have to say about this one?
Yeah, an awful lot of praise for Casey DeSmith. I mean, this guy's thrown into a tough situation, obviously. And, you know, he wasn't terrific in game two, but it doesn't matter if guys don't score. It doesn't matter who's in goal. So best players had to step up. Ultimately, they did. JT and Brock with the goals. But Casey DeSmith, the first 5 minutes, the Preds, and I guess that's to be expected, series shifts. They're coming off a win. Their fans into it. And look, the atmosphere in both these buildings now through three games has been terrific. So that's been part of the fun. It was great to experience it here. But I thought the Canucks were overwhelmed in the first 5 minutes. Didn't touch the puck an awful lot. Predators applied all kinds of pressure. And that's when you need some saves early on. And Casey DeSmith was there to deliver. So a lot of praise from his teammates, certainly the head coach. Rick Tocchet liked the way they defended. And he admitted that, look, the final shots are 30-12. It feels like he didn't have the puck at all. But he thought that the Canucks, in, you know, the Rick Tocchet way, the guts of the ice and those hard areas, he thought his guys did a pretty nice job. He liked the work of his big defensemen, as he talked about. So you can figure from there, Zadorov, again, another strong night for him, involved physically, the big hit on Roman Josi. Again, Tyler Myers played a lot in the third period, Cole and Soucy. You know, those are the guys that they're leaning on right here, right now in a physical series, and the temperature is going up this one. I know there was some real meanness, I thought. Really, for the first time, we didn't see a lot of that in Vancouver, but there was definitely some feeling, and without a doubt, and I asked Rick talking about the fact that the Preds were targeting Quinn Hughes, and why wouldn't they? He's the best player on the ice. If you're game planning against the Canucks, you can try to hit him. It's not so easy, but they did get the body on Quinn Hughes a couple of times in this hockey game, and you saw him at the bottom of the pile and the scrum after the whistle, those types of things that we don't normally see with Quinn Hughes. But again, like, they're trying to get Quinn Hughes off his game, and I would say it's working. Like, Quinn just hasn't looked as dialed in these first three games. I know he picks up points because he's that talented. He's in on both the goals tonight, so you can't say they didn't impact this hockey game. But just in terms of his puck movement, his sort of being one step ahead of the game, some of that seems to be missing right here, right now. But look, he's got 4 points in three games, so he's better than a point a game guy. He's up to 20 points in his NHL playoff career in 20 games. So he continues to amaze, but it is going to be interesting to see if this does take a toll on him. And that comes with the territory of being a star in this league. It was interesting because I asked Tocchet about that. And he said, well, there's some things that Quinn's going to have to do a little bit different and probably a little bit better as well. He said that they're going to have to chip Nashville players and try to, you know, just buy that extra beat and half a second to allow Quinn Hughes to break the puck out cleanly. But we saw Quinn Hughes get tagged a couple of times by hard hit, something that we just generally don't see through the course of a regular season.
Let's get to it. The power play, obviously, it cooked. And, you know, we talked and criticized and so much. And I said, you know, with Garland on it, it was basically a 4-on-4. Was it as simple as one adjustment and putting Elias Lindholm there? I asked Brendan Morrison that. He said he didn't really know, but it might have been because it was just another guy. What did you see from the game and on their power play tonight?
Yeah, I saw Brock Besser paying a price to stand his ground in front of the net, and he has had such a sensational season as a net front presence. And this is a guy, obviously, that broke into the league with a big-time shot. But, you know, was he willing to pay that price? And the answer is yes. And, you know, he takes a hard cross check from Lauzon. I think it was on his goal, winds up flat on his stomach. But guess what? Pucks in the back of the net doesn't hurt as much when the red light is on and the place is silent. So great screen on JT's goal and then Brock going to the front of the net. And that was a heck of a no-look pass. JT looking to the point and then just flinging it right across the goal line, essentially, and Brock on the doorstep there. So I'm not sure that the adjustment of Lindholm over Garland necessarily. I just think, look, we've all watched this team all season long. One of the reasons the Canucks won the Pacific Division was the play of their top end of their lineup. And JT and Brock are big parts of that. 103 points, 40 goals. It felt like a matter of time before one of those guys was going to break out. Now, the waiting game continues for Elias Pettersson, and I'm sure you've touched on that. Another night where just way too quiet, quite frankly, but teammates able to pick him up and they win this hockey game. So Sunday's another opportunity, but now JT and Brock have announced their arrival into this series, still waiting for Elias Pettersson. But I just thought, for the most part, they've had success on the power play with JT shooting from that left half wall. They were so reluctant for the longest time to make that move. But ultimately, getting Miller into that spot where he's able to pass, but if he sees a shot, he's not afraid to take it. We've seen him score that goal a bunch of times over the course of the season. And with Brock Besser taking the eyes away from UC Saros, you know, that's a lethal combination. So it was funny. I mean, it took 13 minutes for them to get their first shot. And what do you know, they opened the scoring on their first shot of the night. And as we said, only three shots in that first period, but they got a lead and then they extended it. You know, and the other thing I liked, you know, sometimes this kind of stuff goes unnoticed, but two of the spark plugs on this team, Connor Garland and Nils Höglander, really hadn't done an awful lot in the first couple of games, but both of them draw penalties, and it was Garland's penalty that led to the Besser goal in that second period. So good on those guys. It's going to take an effort top to bottom in this lineup and probably spares. We've already seen Noah Juulsen draw in, Casey DeSmith stepping into the limelight as well. You know, Höglander and Garland have a role to play, and I thought Höglander, even though he didn't play a lot in his minutes, you noticed him, he was involved. And he's at his best when he's a pain in the butt to play against. And I think we saw a little bit of that, but certainly want to see more from Nils Höglander as this series moves along.
Yeah, a little pesty from Nils Höglander, to say the least. You mentioned Garland, Joshua, Lindholm. That line not so kind on the advanced stats, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, a real surprise to see Elias Lindholm in the faceoff circle. I haven't even looked at the final numbers, but I'm sure they weren't pretty. I know at one point, Ryan O'Reilly was just absolutely feasting on him. As I see, it got a little bit better in the third period, because at one point, I think he was 2 for 15.
8 for 17 he finished with, yeah.
So unlike Elias Lindholm as the right shot center, who, you know, when he wasn't scoring, that was the thing, one of the things that we pointed to was, hey, he's contributing because he wins draws late in games, penalty kill, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, the third line turned game one in the Canucks' favor in the third period. And here tonight, it was just a chore for them to get their stick on the puck and to get it out of their own zone. They had the tough matchup of Ryan O'Reilly, who, you know, himself is a face-off ace. So, I mean, that's going to be the game within the game, I think, to watch on Sunday, because the Predators clearly like that matchup. And you're forcing that line to defend, and can't imagine that there's going to be another night where Elias Lindholm struggles that much in the faceoff circle. Yeah, that was something tonight. And again, Ryan O'Reilly's a master at it. Guy won the Conn Smythe. You know, he's been a big time primetime player, but Lindholm, that's one of his real key areas of contribution. And so I was shocked as this night unfolded. I was charting it as it went along, and be interesting to see what kind of adjustments he can make if the Canucks, you know, are going to have to support him and get another center out there at times. Maybe try to get waved out of the circle so that somebody else can come in and throw a different look at Ryan O'Reilly, whatever the case. Elias Lindholm, he had his moments. I mean, the penalty kill was stellar for the Vancouver Canucks tonight. Guys absolutely paying the price that you have to have success at this time of the year, and Lindholm's a big part of that. They had to kill three penalties in the first period. Like, Predators had an opportunity to get on the board, certainly, and get this crowd even more fired up. And so credit to all the guys. Like, that's not easy. Those are hard minutes to play. Rick Tocchet talked before the series about wanting to embrace ice bags as you walk to the bus. I can tell you, as I just walked into that Canucks locker room, a lot of ice bags going around because guys threw themselves in harm's way. And that's the price you pay to come out with a 2-1 victory.
You walked into the Canucks locker room. I want to ask you, kind of take us through the day a little bit here. You know, this morning you had morning skate for the Vancouver Canucks. What was the mood like? You know, you lose the game, you have a long travel day, you have a practice day, and then now you're going into the game here tonight. What was the mood this morning around the team?
Yeah, I think they really saw this as an opportunity. It's a place that they won twice the regular season, and a lot was made prior to the series about the 3-0 record against the Preds. I thought one piece of that record, since all the games were before Christmas, was two of the wins were here. So at the very least, some good mojo coming back into Bridgestone Arena. And I think the message from Tocchet to his guys, because it's funny, you know, quite often when you go from scrum to scrum to scrum and you talk to different guys and they all have the same message, it's pretty clear that the coach has delivered from above. And all these guys said, like, we're here to embrace this. Like, our crowd was terrific. We know that this crowd's going to be loud, but we're not afraid of the noise and we're going to try to embrace it. And then they come out and get three shots in the first period. So I don't know how much ultimately they embraced it, but they're the higher seed. They're division champs. They played well enough to generate more offense the other night, but ultimately didn't score. But I think there were enough things in that game two loss that they recognized if they were to play that game a bunch of times, they would come out on top. It just didn't go their way the other night. So I think really one of the themes, and I know I asked Quinn Hughes about it, asked Rick Tocchet too this morning, was these primetime guys have performed all season long. How confident are you that it is just a matter of time? And sure enough, you know, Miller and Besser are your goal scorers in this game. So I think that was the storyline that I was following heading into this one, was, you know, how is Casey DeSmith going to handle coming off a loss? And there were people asking me about Artur Silovs and were we going to see him at some point in this series? And if the Canucks have to go three deep in their goaltending, then obviously they've got all sorts of problems. But Casey DeSmith did his part. And then it was just a matter of time before those top end guys got going. And here they are. You know, it happened that it came on the power play. So 5-on-5, yeah, there's still a lot of things to work on. Like through two periods of play, in fact, into the third period, they had four even strength shots on goal. Like that again, that's playing with fire, but ultimately it was the Preds that got torched on this night. So it's been a weird series. The shot totals have been low. I guess I thought the way Nashville had played down the stretch and all of their scoring, like three games in, the Canucks have held Roman Josi to a single point. Like you have to take that as a positive. None of the top end guys, even though they were buzzing there late, they don't figure in the scoring in this hockey game. So key part of this victory as well, even though waiting for Elias Pettersson, you're looking for some of the other guys to step up offensively. But on this night, when you look at the scoring, top end of the Canucks lineup came through, top end of the Preds lineup held off the score sheet. So, you know, advantage the Canucks. And ultimately it was a narrow advantage, but hey, one goal is all they needed to eke, or two goals, but a one goal victory, all they needed. You don't have to win big. You just got to win. And they did that to take a 2-1 series lead.
Jeff, there's so much noise in this market about Thatcher Demko and his status. And we know that he's with the team. And I'm not going to ask you a Thatcher Demko question because there's been so many different reports about what's going on. I want to ask you a question about Casey DeSmith. You know, he starts game two. There's still that noise around the team of what's going to happen. Is he going to be the guy? You know, he obviously found out late. The teammates didn't find out until the morning of game two that, you know, DeSmith was going to start that game. This is his team now. So do you think that for him, you know, before he headed into this game, I mean, he did have to make some big saves. I'm not putting game two on him at all, but you think in some ways that mentally he knows that, you know, in order for this team to be successful as this series goes on, he needs to be the guy.
Yeah. And I mean, that 5-week stretch where Demko was out late in the regular season gave him a taste. And, you know, this is the lot in life for a backup goaltender. He can come in a pinch and give you 2, 3, 5, 8 starts, but generally, by around that 8-game mark, you start to see some of the warts on his game that have made him a backup as opposed to a starter over his career. And that's what he is. And that's not a knock on him. He knows his role. He's embraced it. He plays it well. Teammates love him. He's a very likable, personable guy. Huge smile on his face when he came in to meet the media, as you can imagine, getting that first Stanley Cup playoff victory of his career. You know, with that job comes a lot of pressure, and the pressure goes up at playoff time. And so let's see where this goes. This is two starts in a row for him. He had a run there in the month of March. And remember, too, that March was that long homestand. So there was space between games. There wasn't the travel element. This is different. The stakes are a lot higher now. So he was good enough tonight, faced 30 shots and stopped 29 of them. But Sunday's a new game, and I think you'll see a desperation level from the Preds. They don't want to go back to Vancouver knowing that their season is on the line. They can even this thing up with a victory here and make it a best of three. So, you know, I think you're going to see a desperate Preds team. You saw them right off the hop, but the Canucks better be prepared out of the gate on Sunday to be a whole lot better. And the other thing, too, is Sunday with an early start. It's 4 o'clock start here local. No morning skates. You know, I think a lot of times goaltenders, they like to just get the feel of the puck and get into a routine. So sometimes goaltenders will go out early, but if he's going to do that, it's going to be really early in the morning. We'll see if it messes with the routine. Whatever the case, UC Soros will be in goal for the Preds. That much we know. And for this performance, Casey DeSmith is coming back for the Vancouver Canucks. So let's see what he can do with this opportunity, but bounces back from a tough one the other night on home ice and looked good for a long stretch of this hockey game. It was funnier if I did ask him about that play in the second period where the Sisson shot got past him, through him and past him. And I said, like, did you know where the puck was? And again, big grin breaks out. And he said, well, the crowd let me know. He said, but I could tell that from the reaction, it wasn't in. It was just behind me. And fortunately, the long arm of Tyler Myers there to swoop in. And good thing he's got the long arms. Mind you, it was Myers that turned the puck over to begin with there. So he probably felt a little bit of desperation, owed it to his goaltender, whatever the case. You know, there were a couple of moments in this hockey game, and that was one. And if you watch the replay, like that puck's in the blue paint, and then it goes up on its end and sort of turns away. That easily could have trickled across the goal line. There was the JT Miller giveaway where Gus Nyquist looked like he would have had a breakaway. And he fumbled the puck, and that was another one for the Vancouver Canucks. There were a couple Predator chances that went just wide. There was the sequence in the third there where DeSmith made the save, and then the rebound hit Ian Cole and came right back to Casey DeSmith. So, you know, sometimes it is a game of bounces and matter of inches and, you know, a little bit of puck luck from time to time. And I would say the Canucks had some of that, but I thought that play in the second period, Sisson's shot getting past Casey DeSmith, but not across the goal line.
Yeah, a couple more things I want to get to you. One, we'll start with, are the Canucks playing with fire, only taking 12 shots and just winning a hockey game there? I mean, you know, you mentioned Elias Pettersson's name. We've talked way too much about him. They won the game, so I don't want to talk about him too much, but how much fire are they playing with only generating 12 shots?
Yeah, look, the other night the story was the Predators blocked all these shots, and I get it, and give the Predators credit for that. You know, I'm looking at the stat sheet here tonight, 11 blocked shots for the Nashville Predators, so it's not like there was a Predator in the way of every Canuck attempt. Did Ilya Mikheyev in the first period not sort of sum up the issues? Like, I mean, skates miles with the puck, looks like he creates a great shooting angle. Nope. Held on, and then got in deep and tried to fire it across to Nils Höglander. So I want to see the Canucks test UC Saros. I don't get it. Like, his save percentage isn't great in this series because he hasn't faced many pucks, and the Canucks have been able to get a few past him. There's two teams out there. They both want the puck, all of that. But again, this is a Canuck team that dictated the way so many games were played this regular season. Like, the Canucks have a 2-1 lead in the series. I don't think there's a man in that locker room that would tell you they're playing Canuck hockey the way that Rick Tocchet ultimately wants them to play. You know, they got the lead and then they defended, and they defended well and had the comfort of a 2-goal cushion for much of the third period. But are they playing with fire? Yeah, absolutely. Like, I just, dare I dream to see them get double-digit shots on goal in a first period to kind of hem the Predators in their own zone? They had 3 shots on goal with 2 power plays in that first period. So, again, there are a lot of things that don't necessarily make sense. Sometimes that's just the nature of playoff hockey. And I would say there have been long stretches in this series so far where I really haven't recognized the Vancouver Canucks that I covered for 82 games in the regular season, but you know, there's enough here, obviously, to have them out in front 2-1 through the first 3 games.
As we move on to Game 4, what was your biggest takeaway from the Vancouver Canucks win here in Game 3?
Special teams and top of the lineup. I was waiting to see the power play come through for the Vancouver Canucks, and it did, and scored in a couple of different ways. And I think that's important, too, that if you throw different looks at your opponents, keep them on their toes, the shot from distance. And then I like that pass from JT Miller. Preds might have to think twice. Like, again, they're trying to be physical, and fair enough. I mean, these were the top 2 teams in the Western Conference this regular season in terms of hits. So I'm not surprised that, you know, we're seeing both teams take the body. Everything goes up at playoff time. But, you know, if they're going to try to take liberties, and I talked a little bit about the way they're chasing Quinn Hughes around the ice. And look, Roman Josi's been on the receiving end of 2 massive hits already in this series, both of them from Nikita Zadorov. So if you're going to hit the Preds captain, what are the Preds going to do? They're going to respond by taking a run at the Canucks captain. So Quinn Hughes is going to have to keep his head up. I still think there's more for him to give just in terms of controlling the pace and the territorially, the way that he has played for so much of the season. But getting that power play going important, because now the Predators have to think twice if they're thinking that maybe they can take some liberties, and if they cross the line, so be it. You know, now if they spend time in the penalty box, the Canucks are hoping to make them pay.
Absolutely, Jeff. Well, you watching the show and you listening to the show, feeding back on all our social channels is kind of what makes this show and what makes me and Jeff have a lot of fun doing this. But Rinkwide Worldwide is one of our favorite things that we look at. And look, I think we've added a new little pin there, Jeff. I think it's in Nashville, Tennessee. So
little Flat J Pat making his debut. Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines. I like that. Thanks for the support. I had a couple of people reach out to me on our Rinkwide Insta account from Long Beach, California, sent me some family photos, some kids all decked out in their Canucks gear. There was somebody in Lodi, California as well. I see Tokyo. So we love the support. These people are making a commitment if they're staying up to watch. So, you know, a lot of these games, especially now that we're in the central time zone, earlier starts, so middle of the night for a lot of people around the world. But Canuck fans, we know that they're out there and they've been checking in on a regular basis with us. So it's awesome to see. Keep those coming, and we'll continue to add pins to our Rinkwide Worldwide map as we go. And yeah, for a couple more days at least, that face is going to stay there sort of in the south. Yeah.
Hey, we're absolutely happy to have it there. We're thrilled. We're honored. And we don't get to do this often, right? You're at a game. Me and you be able to talk about this. You're on the road covering the Canucks in the playoffs. It's something that we and our listeners definitely can appreciate. But let's get to this portion of Rinkwide, a presentation of Four Winds Brewing, family owned and operated in Delta. Come check out the Four Winds Brewing tap room and kitchen located in the Tilbury area, serving beers, burgers, and their famous tacos every day from 11 to 8. Or check out their product line online at fourwindsbrewing.ca. The Canucks are two more wins away from four wins, Jeff, as they look to take a stranglehold on the series on Sunday against the Nashville Predators. But when you go around the National Hockey League and you look at some of these scores and some of these games, the New York Rangers up 3-0 on the Washington Capitals. Washington got out to that early lead and the Rangers were going there, and the Winnipeg Jets now up 2-1 on the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, it's funny when you travel like this for a series. Like, I've been here at Bridgestone for most of the day, and that's great. I'm not complaining at all, but yeah. I just spent most of my day here for the morning skate. I snuck away for a little bite to eat, and then it came back. You know that there are other games going on, but you're sort of in this cone of ignorance about what's happening around the National Hockey League. So I had seen that the Rangers wanted to take a 3-0 series lead. Carolina, obviously, in full control. Battle of the Sunshine State turning into a bit of a mismatch, I think the way that a lot of people thought it would happen. Boston up in front of Toronto with a 2-1 series lead there. And then as I look in real time as we record this, Edmonton jumping all over Los Angeles Kings 3-0 after one period of play there, and Winnipeg late in the second with a 2-1 lead on the Colorado Avalanche in that first game down in Denver. So games will continue on here through the night. So that's as up to date as we can go. But you're right, the Canucks are, and I won't sing it, but they're halfway there. Two wins down, two still to come, and it's only going to get more difficult as they go here. But it's the beauty of playoff time and just try to roll with the punches and all the emotion that comes with it. It was a fun day here. Nashville has certainly embraced playoff hockey out on the streets. The streets are blocked off all around the rink here. Street party, live bands. You can imagine they can find a couple of musicians to put on a show outside the arena. And then the atmosphere here in the building. They tried their best to urge the Predators on. And something tells me that Sunday they'll probably ramp it up again. They don't want this to end in the first round, and they want to see a game six in this series. So we know it's going five for sure. And we'll take stock of where things are when we do this again on Sunday evening.
No, absolutely. One of my favorite things about the Nashville Predators is they don't let you know who the U.S. anthem singer is, because it's usually a little bit of a concert. So maybe they'll bring out a big gun for Sunday to try and hype up the crowd.
Well, I saw Tim McGraw was here. I didn't see the concert, but he was here with the Stanley Cup on stage. Yeah. He performed at Bridgestone Arena. And look, it's like any major multi-purpose arena around the National Hockey League. You know, you have concerts the night before. They got to put people in the seats and sell tickets, and they don't want the building to sit empty. But I did wonder, I didn't talk to any of the players. Maybe I will after practice on Saturday. But we hear a lot about ice conditions in Vancouver and choppy ice and bouncing pucks. I detected a fair bit of that. And I did wonder if, you know, that had anything to do with a concert in here and the quick turnaround and conversion back to a hockey rink. The Canucks are slated to have an optional skate here on Saturday. They skated at the Preds practice facility on Thursday, but I think that's because the concert was in here. They do have the rink and they'll leave the ice down, so hopefully the ice will be better for Sunday. But yeah, that's the plan for the Canucks, an optional practice. I think they had 2 days between games and a travel day on Wednesday, so I wasn't surprised they had a full practice on Thursday. But I think for the most part, when it's just 1 day between games, Rick Tocchet's going to let guys do what they think they need to do to be ready for game time. And I talked about the ice bags. You know, there's going to be some bumps and bruises. That's just, it's a war of attrition and a quick turnaround to a Sunday afternoon game. So I would imagine you won't see a lot of guys take to the ice on Saturday, but they got the extras here. And, you know, whoever just wants to feel the puck for 20 minutes or whatever, they might just go for a quick skate. But that is the plan for the Canucks on Saturday here in Smashville.
Jeff, well, we really look forward to it. Looking forward to see what you read. Looking forward to listening to what you're able to provide for us here. And obviously, I will talk to you on Sunday as the Vancouver Canucks take a 2-1 series lead, taking Game 3 by a score of 2-1. JT Miller and Brock Besser with the power play goals. Game 4 goes on a Sunday afternoon. For Jeff Patterson in Nashville, I'm Rafon Gafar holding down the fort here in Vancouver. This is Rinkwide Vancouver.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.